On previous days, Saroji explained the seven benefits of Satipatthana meditation briefly in order to encourage yogis who are about to practice Satipatthana meditation as well as those who are already practicing. These benefits are guaranteed. These benefits are very precious. It is a precious kind of work to purify one's body, speech, and mind. Through the practice of Satipatthana, one's physical behavior, verbal behavior, and mental behavior become clean, and one cultivates knowledge. Purifying one's body, speech, and mind, one has a very good control of oneself in the bodily behavior, verbal behavior, and mental behavior. And one conquers oneself. One governs oneself. Being able to control oneself, being able to govern oneself, one will not be hurting others. In this way, one's own world is peaceful, as well as the surrounding world also becomes peaceful. It is very important for the world. Buddha declared the seven benefits of Satipatthana practice. And Saroji explained that in the Satipatthana practice, what are the objects to be noted? And Saroji also explained that there are two things needed. First of all, one needs to listen to the instruction attentively, respectfully. And secondly, one should practice diligently, meticulously, according to these guidance and instructions. Being endowed with these two factors, one will be able to extinguish the defilement fire, and one is said to be fulfilling the teachings of the Buddha. And today, Saroji will continue to explain the four kinds of Satipatthana. In the Satipatthana Sutta, Yadidan Chattaro Satipatthana, Buddha mentioned that Satipatthana meditation is one and only sure way to purify the mind. And Buddha mentioned there are four kinds of Satipatthana. Buddha showed the number of types of Satipatthana meditation. And it is to be explained what are the four. Buddha himself asked the question, and Buddha himself answered it. Katame Chattaro, meaning what are the four. Ida Bhikkhave Bhikkhu Kaye Kayanupassi Viharati Atapi Sampajano Satima Vinaya Loke Abheja Dominasa. Ida Bhikkhave Bhikkhu. Ida Bhikkhu means the bhikkhu, the monks who are in the teachings of the Buddha, monks who are practicing. When it is said Ida Bhikkhu, the bhikkhu who are in this teaching of the Buddha, it seems that there is no mention of bhikkhuni, the female monks, Upasaka and Upasika, male and female devotees, and there is no mention of the deity or the Brahma. But actually, the teachings of the Buddha has to do with every kind of audiences. And Saroji will explain the word Ida Bhikkhu, meaning the bhikkhu in this teaching of the Buddha. There are Bhikkhunis, female monks, apart from Bhikkhu, as well as Upasaka and Upasika, male and female lay devotees, and deities, and Brahmas who practice meditation. Among them, Buddha addressed as Bhikkhu, Buddha addressed to the male monks. In the Buddha Sasana, there are those who are receiving the teachings of the Buddha, who are accepting the teachings, practicing the teachings of the Buddha. Among them, the bhikkhus are the ones who have the teachings of the Buddha, and these bhikkhus are the highest among all. As the bhikkhus are the highest, Buddha addressed as Idha Bhikkhave Bhikkhu. When learning the teachings, there is a law called Padana, showing the chief or the main. For example, in the country, if there is a nation where the president is predominant, then the president is addressed. And in a government, if the prime minister is more predominant, the prime minister is said to be the Padana. And in the nation where the president is more predominant, the president is said to be the Padana. Here in this case, Buddha addressed as Idha Bhikkhave Bhikkhu, addressing to the bhikkhu, the male monks. But it also automatically includes other audiences such as bhikkhuni, upasaka, upasika, and the deities. There is another example when one says that the president comes. It is not only the president comes, but president is followed, accompanied by his staff. So by saying that the president comes, it automatically means that not only the president comes, but he is also accompanied by his staff. So here in this case, when Buddha addressed as Idha Bhikkhave Bhikkhu, addressing to bhikkhus, the bhikkhus is addressed, but it also means that the other audiences, such as bhikkhunis, upasaka and upasika, are also involved automatically. In other way, anyone who practices Satipatthana meditation is called a bhikkhu. But it doesn't mean that just by practicing flippantly in an easygoing manner, one will not be a bhikkhu just by practicing in an easygoing manner. One should understand that. Not only the bhikkhus practice, but bhikkhunis, upasaka, upasika, as well as the deities and the brahmas, all practice Satipatthana meditation. And the commentary also described that patipanna kohi devo va hotu manuso va bhikkhuti sankhan gacchati, meaning that whoever practices, whether it is a deity or a human being, whoever practices is called a bhikkhu. Meaning that whether it is a deity, a brahma, or a human being, whoever it is who is mindful of the four fields of objects, Kaya, the body, Vedana, feelings and sensations, Citta, the mind, Dhamma, the mental objects. Whoever is mindful of these four objects of Satipatthana meditation, practicing, walking on the straight path of Satipatthana practice, is called a bhikkhu. So here in this case, bhikkhu means anyone who practices Satipatthana meditation is taken as bhikkhu. So there are two ways. One can be called a bhikkhu in a suddhanta way by practicing Satipatthana meditation. Whoever practices is called a bhikkhu in suddhanta way. But in the Vinaya way, there are samanera novices, samaneri, female novices, and from that stage, they go on to higher ordination into bhikkhu and bhikkhuni. And they shave, take refuges, and in the Sima Hall, ordination hall, there is the ceremony where the monk-to-be has all of the requisites, such as the bowl, robes, and among the Sangha, the statement is announced that this is the monk-to-be having the requisites all present. And by doing this three times, and if there is no objection, he becomes a bhikkhu in terms of Vinaya. Nowadays, the lineage of bhikkhu still exists. But the lineage of bhikkhunis have already become extinct 500 years after the Buddha attained Parinibbana. Whether one is a bhikkhu in the Vinaya way or the Suddhanta way, what is important is that one should be a true bhikkhu. One should not just be bhikkhu by name or in name only. In the word bhikkhu, there are the hidden meanings. There are two hidden meanings in the word bhikkhu. Bhikkhu is a person who sees the suffering in the samsara. And because he or she sees the suffering, the danger of suffering in the round of existences, the person is called a bhikkhu. Another way is that the person who abandons and removes the defilements which are causing the suffering in the round of existences is called a bhikkhu. In the first meaning, sansari bhayan ikhatiti bhikkhu. Bhikkhu is the one who sees the harm and who sees the danger in the round of existences. Samsara is the round of existences where the nama rupa, mind and matter, are arising continuously like a stream of current. Continuous arising of the nama rupa like a stream of current is called samsara. In life, from the time the person is conceived in the mother's womb, from the time of conception till one is born, there are the ears, the the eyes, ears, nose, tongue, body, and the mind takes place, and there will be seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, knowing. These nama rupa are arising continuously. Seeing takes place, pass away. Hearing takes place, pass away. Nothing that arise will stay the same. It will arise and pass away. In this way, nama rupa are arising continuously. Among these nama rupa, most of them are no good. And they are also bodily action, verbal action, mental action that are unwholesome. Actually, life is boring and frightening. In life, there are more suffering than happiness and comfort. But as people take things as good and pleasant, they become attached to these pleasures, and they are working hard in order to get these pleasures all their life. But what they get is only very little happiness and pleasure, but more of suffering. The pleasures are good, but they are dangerous and fatal. Buddha taught that samsara is suffering. Listening to the teachings of the Buddha, one will come to understand that life after life, continuous arising of these nama rupa are frightening, and thus samsari bhayan ekatiti bhikkhu. Bhikkhu is the one who sees the flaws of samsara, who has fear, who sees the samsara as frightening. So in this way, the continuous arising of the nama rupa, one life after another, is frightening. And the one who sees that the samsara, continuous arising of nama rupa, life after life, is frightening, is a bhikkhu. The person who does not see the continuous arising of nama rupa as frightening, they will be attached in it, and they will not know suffering as suffering. Not seeing that the samsara is frightening, there is moha, delusion involved. And also, not knowing suffering as suffering, seeing pleasantness in the suffering. And as the person commits wholesomeness, wholesome deeds, due to these wholesome deeds, one is reborn as a human deity. Even though the life of the human or deity is said to be good, but actually when there is rebirth, there is going to be death. When there is rebirth, even though the person wants to be young, but one grows old, even though one wants to be healthy, there are illnesses, even though one wants to live, but there is death. Because there is the mind, there is mental suffering. Because there is the body, there are physical sufferings. And in life, there is sorrow, grief, lamentation. So these lives are frightening. And if one do not have good intention, one indulges in raga, dosa, moha. One indulges in lust, anger, delusion, and one commits wrongdoing such as killing, stealing, sexual misconduct. Committing these wrongful actions, the results will also be frightening. And as one is breaking the sila, the bad results will follow and it is frightening. So one should see suffering as suffering. The one who sees the samsara as frightening is called a bhikkhu. The person who commits wrongdoings will not only get the bad results in future lives, but also in this life. The person who commits these wrongdoings will meet frightening danger. As the person indulges in dosa, anger, committing, killing, making others get destroyed, deceiving, taking other people's belonging by force, ruining other people's life, committing sexual misconduct, deceiving in order to have personal gain, taking intoxicants, drugs. The person commits these docharita, evil conduct. When a person has done these wrongdoings, whenever he or she thinks of it, there will be self-criticism, such as, I am bad, I am cruel, I am not humane. In this way, there is attanuvarabhaya, the danger of self-criticism. And also, the wise people will not think high of such person. The other wise people will look down on him or her because of his or her wrongdoing. The person will be neglected in the society of the wise, and he or she will be criticized by others. It is paranuvadabhaya, the danger of being criticized by the wise. And as the person is breaking the law, violating the law, the person gets punished, and it is dandabhaya, the danger of being punished. And when the person dies, the person is reborn in lower existences due to his or her bad intentions. It is dukkadipaya, the danger of lower destination. So as the person commits these wrongdoings, there will be these four kinds of danger that he or she could not avoid due to his or her misconduct. The defilements, raga, dosa, moha, are causing the person to commit wrongdoings, and thus the person meets these four kinds of dangers. Knowing the flaws, one should abandon, remove the defilements that are causing these wrongdoings and dangers. When the person is craving on pleasurable objects and good life, there is raga, lust. when there is anger, aversion, hatred, grudge, there is dosa, and there is delusion. So these lust, anger, and delusion are the cause of suffering. They are the cause of suffering and danger. In order not to cultivate more causes for this suffering and danger, yogis are walking on this path of Satipatthana practice. Buddha had guaranteed that by practicing Satipatthana meditation, one will have purification of the mind, removing visama lobha, visama dosa, and visama moha, a extreme form of greed, anger, and delusion. The person who does not want suffering connected with existences, one needs to remove the defilements which are the cause. By practicing Satipatthana meditation, walking on this path of Satipatthana practice, the three trainings, Sila, Samadhi, and Panya, morality, concentration, and wisdom are involved. Through the practice of Sila, morality, one refrains and prevents the transgressive defilements from arising. Through the practice of Samadhi, concentration, one suppresses and cures the obsessive defilements that arise in the mind. Cultivating Vipassana Panya and Magga Panya, cultivating insight knowledge and path knowledge, one removes latent, dormant form of defilements. So in this way, preventing, curing, suppressing, removing the defilements that are the cause of the suffering of the existences, such person is called a bhikkhu in practice. So it is important to prevent, cure, suppress, remove, and uproot the defilements. And yogis who are here, they are practicing in order to suppress and uproot the defilements. And when Sila, Samadhi, and Panya, morality, concentration, and wisdom are fulfilled, the defilements are removed. And when a person becomes a Sotapanna, stream enterer, the person has totally eradicated the defilements that are Abhaya relating. So one should be happy that one is practicing Satipatthana practice in order to gain victory on these defilements. Bhikkhu is the person who sees the danger in the suffering of the samsara and thus remove the defilements. If a bhikkhu does not abide by the rule of conduct, then he will just be bhikkhu by name, just bearing the appearance of a bhikkhu with no practice. As a person is bearing the appearance of a bhikkhu, it is important to give up the inferior kind of action and conduct, and one should follow respectfully the vinaya, the discipline of a monk, and one should also practice Satipatthana in order to cultivate the mind. Both wearing the appearance of a bhikkhu, practicing, abiding closely to the discipline, and also practicing in order to cultivate the mind, one is not only wearing or not only bearing the appearance, but also bearing the practice of a bhikkhu. A person who does not bear the appearance of a bhikkhu but practice satipatthana meditation is a person who is bearing the practice of a bhikkhu. So yogis who are here, who are upasaka, upasika, who are lay disciples, through the practice of satipatthana meditation, they are bearing the practice of a bhikkhu. So while having this opportunity, one should practice diligently so that as the Buddha had, one will gain the benefits of practice just as the Buddha had taught. So may you all be able to practice morality as the foundation and practice satipatthana meditation so that one will be removing the defilements which are the cause of suffering. One will be removing these causes of suffering every single second, every single minute, every single hour through the practice of sila, samadhi, and banya. And this will be all for today. Sadhu, sadhu.